Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Doesn't matter that my late night call came at all.
Heavy Pencil, from the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
HJM Talent.
Yes, it's Michael. Is Margot there?
Michael?
Michael Cork.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork. Could I speak to Margot, please? It's urgent.
I'm afraid she's doing her colouring in book at the moment. Can I take a message?
Yes, could you ask... Sorry, who are you?
Sarah Tiptree.
Right, are you Margot's new assistant or something?
Fliss is Margot's assistant.
Yes, I know Fliss, I know that. Has she left?
No, I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's the One Show, the podcast that flicks chewed up bits of paper at the television with a shatterproof ruler whenever the One Show is on, and then tells Sir it was the One Show that did it. As ever, part one of this week's ep dropped into your pod bag yesterday, so if you'd like this part two to make any kind of sense, we recommend going back to listen to that first. Lurking furtively round the back of TV's flagship early evening magazine programme this week, John Raine and Julia Rayside. So this was a couple who, they introduced this by saying they spend just 60p a day or something?
Yeah, 60p a meal.
60p a meal?
Yeah.
But six inches a year.
6 inches a year.
But sometimes you have to pay attention to the little intertitles thing where they introduce the VT with usually something puntastic and awful.
Yeah.
And this one was, ready, steady, batch! Which is like...
It doesn't...
So what's so batches instead of ready, steady... Batch doesn't sound like go... Forget it. Move on.
So the idea of this was they cook all of their week's meals on a Sunday. They spend their whole day doing it.
Whole day on Sunday.
And they cook like, is it 28 meals a week on a Sunday? I just put fun couple. That was my note for this, couple.
Well, it seemed to me there was a little moment between them where you thought, this is definitely his idea.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because she was along for the ride, the other half, but I'm not sure. So the guy presenting it, which was our friend Alex Riley, the one who looks, Mark described him once, as a sort of prototype drawing of Wurzel Gummy.
He's like something that got unfrozen from the mod era.
You're right. But we like Alex Riley. And then he said, you're trading convenience in the week for a really horrible Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we enjoy it.
Yeah.
So speaking for her as well.
She didn't say anything
and
much.
And she didn't really say anything apart from, it's not as daunting as it sounds.
No.
And I thought, he makes you do this.
So you're trading convenience in the week for like a really horrible Sunday.
We enjoy it.
Yeah, it's not as daunting as it probably sounds.
Yeah, and then almost followed up immediately with, every meal is 400 calories, every snack is 200 calories. That sounds relaxing.
Yeah.
Oh, just a bit of light cooking on a Sunday. 400 calories, I said. Put it back. Do it again.
What if she does it and it's 401?
Well, yeah. That she gets
does
probably...
Does she get the belt?
I reckon she forfeits a meal, probably.
Yeah, but it's a smaller belt than it used to be because they're thinner, so it's not so bad now.
Hurt less.
That's right. But they fair enough, they had lost a lot of weight. They had some before and after pictures.
Yeah.
You know, so it obviously worked for
holding
them.
Holding up those trousers.
Yeah, they did the classic.
You have to hold up the trousers. But here's how hold these big trousers. But they cut back to the studio, and I think it was Matt that said, I think speaking for us all, because we'd all been watching it slightly recording to the screen going, oh, this is a bit of a weird marriage. Yeah. He just said, that has to be a good thing.
Well, if it works.
You know what?
Yeah.
It has to be a good thing.
Does it now? And Matt, then we learn Matt's cut the sugar out of his diet.
I've cut sugar out of my diet
for over
a month, and I've noticed a massive difference.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Incredible.
Then he said, it's made a massive difference. But he looks, Matt Baker is as thin as a rake and just looks the same anyway. So I don't know what he's talking about.
It's made me just as unhappy as I'd hoped I'd be.
Yeah. I imagine Max gets quite excitable on sugar.
Probably.
Like a little child.
You might be right.
Aww. Like Boo. Runs around dribbling.
Can't stop talking.
Wake up, Boo.
Stop it. She's fine, everyone. She's fine.
And then let's talk about celebrity creepy crawlies, shall we?
Fucking
you don't
hell.
Want to talk about the rest of the Romesh interview where they went through how he gave up teaching to be a
comedian. You're right, I do want to talk about that.
And then his dad went to prison.
Yeah.
And that wasn't awkward at all, was it?
No.
So odd, they didn't know what to do. I don't think they knew he was going to say it, or if they did, they didn't look at all prepared.
Well, they said your
it.
Dad was a bit of a Del boy, wasn't he?
A bit of a Del boy.
Del boy never went to prison.
We went through a lot of difficulties, and my dad went to prison for a short time, and so that damaged our relationship. And then when he came back, I had trouble... I had trouble sort of reconnecting with him.
Yeah, it was all a bit, is that where we're going with this? Because it was so low energy anyway to start with. It's like, just keep it light, keep it light.
You got a laugh, though, by saying the word crawly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Someone in the audience.
Matt got a laugh as well.
He didn't.
Because he talked about, they were talking about, this is Romesh's book, so he talks about his dad going to prison in the book, which is why it came up, I think. Mm.
This is why Matt wouldn't know, because he hasn't read the book.
Exactly, the book's called Straight Outta Crawley. Matt didn't get that reference either.
No.
And then they showed a picture of a young, this is when your reference to him pissing himself as a child.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So what was he, on a school trip or something?
Yeah.
He was coming back from a school trip abroad at the airport, and he needed to go for a pee, and he was trying to impress the girl that he'd been trying to get off with for the whole trip.
That's right.
And things looked like they were going to happen, and then he ran to the loo, got his hand to the door, and then his brain kind of went, you've made it, and he peed all over the floor.
And I went to the toilet, and as I put my hand on the door of the toilet, like in the airport, my body went, you've made it, and I just wet myself in the middle of the in front of Sarah and everybody.
Romesh.
Girl called Sarah Elliott.
they were pushing out an appeal.
Sarah, get in touch.
She didn't.
No.
Maybe next week. We can.
But
we
I think
live
she would have got in touch by now.
Well, they had a picture.
She's on telly all the time.
she's like everyone else. She doesn't watch the one show. But if you're listening to this, Sarah.
What, Pissy Ranganathan? No thanks.
Romesh Ranganathan, we used to call him. Get in touch, Sarah, with the One Show podcast, and you can come on next week.
We'd love to have
tell
you on,
your
yes,
side
please.
Of the pissy Great. Story.
Yeah.
Matt got the laugh because they showed a picture from his book of a young Romesh. Matt said something like, you seem to be seducing that young girl with your pelvis.
Tell so us
was
more.
She, yeah, she wasn't maybe into the rap, but she was transfixed by the way you could move your pelvis.
So.
How old was he in the picture?
And that got, well, luckily he was also a child.
Okay, that's but still underage.
It's not when he was a teacher. Just to be clear.
Okay.
And you're going to prison now, like your dad.
The police are outside.
Surprise!
Go on, do celebrity creepy crawlies, because I can't bear to wait any longer.
Celebrity creepy crawlies. Now you can see how this had come up in the One Show production meeting, because they like their games. We've chatted about games the One Show do with their guests before, and they're all absolutely shit.
Absolutely the worst, yeah.
And this one was simply based, of course, on the word crawling. So someone had gone, okay, it's from Crawley, his book's called Straight Out of Crawley. What's that, Matt? Don't know. Crawley. What can we do about Crawley? Creepy crawlies, creepy crawlies. What about celebrities from Crawley disguised as creepy crawlies, and then Romesh has to guess who the celebrities are that we've disguised as a series of insects?
There we are. celebrity creepy crawlies.
Here we go. Right, first question.
It's going to work.
Yeah, go on, you go on.
We're going to basically disguise a celebrity as a creepy crawly. We'll give you a clue and then you've got to try and work out who they are.
Sadly, they only had time for two.
Two.
I wonder how many more they had.
No one told Michelle, though, did they?
No.
No, she tried to get the third one away and Matt had to steamroll her out of the way.
Last one.
That's it. That's all we got time for. That's all we got time for, yes. A big thank you to Ramesh and to Shanti. There we are.
The creepy crawlies. Now, did you guess who they were? You playing along at home, John Rain?
I was, yes.
Did you get them right?
I did, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't very difficult, was it?
It wasn't,
So who were they? They were
Gareth Southgate.
Gareth Southgate was disguised as
a bee.
Yeah.
And The Cure.
Why?
Yeah, and The Cure, who was
they were ants, right?
Ants.
As ants.
The Cure were ants.
This celebrity creepy crawly has a real buzz about him and a real sting in his tail when it comes to managing a team. He flies all over the world, but in the end, he always prefers coming home.
You know this.
Who
one.
Is it?
No.
Football. Manages a team.
Lives in Crawley.
Crawley.
Oh, yes. Gareth?
Yeah.
Gareth. I don't know.
Gareth Southgate. Pretend he's a neighbour. Yeah.
Is it?
It's Gareth's first name.
Gareth Southgate. Well done. Well done.
Okay, very quickly. These colony of ants love a good rock to heal a rainy day. They're responsible for this hit. It's Friday, there it is. Of course you do. And the answer, Ronnie?
The Cure.
The Cure!
And then there was a really interesting moment when Matt said in the script they got written to describe these creepy, crawly, famous celebrity things. Matt said, they're Crawley's biggest export, apart from you, Ramesh. Like that. And Ramesh just went, yeah.
Carrying the title of Crawley's biggest export, except for you, Ramesh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh! It wasn't even a sort of jokey.
Lovely sense of humour,
I would argue that it was the Neville Haig, the acid bath murderer.
Trust you to know that, you
perhaps he was the third one that Michelle couldn't get to.
He's a spider pulling old ladies into his web.
Who is it? Oh, I don't know. Is it Neville, the acid bath? Yes, Ramesh!
What a lovely note to end on. Yes, and with that, we'll have to say...
See you next week. See you tomorrow. Thursdays, then, this was Matt and Michelle again. And we opened, I think, with the back of David Suchet's head.
Let's start by introducing our first guest, a distinguished actor who's been watched by over 700 million people around the world.
Yes, he's so famous, in fact, that fans recognise him just by looking at the back of his head.
That is impressive. I mean... You've probably guessed it from the head and from the music. Please welcome Poirot himself, David Suchet.
Yeah!
That's right. The unmistakable back of David Suchet's
My
head.
God, I'd know the back of that head anywhere.
I genuinely didn't know who it was because I couldn't really hear the theme music because I was watching on a laptop.
Right.
And I was just staring and staring going, what does this mean? Yeah. Like, am I supposed to know?
I thought he was pissing.
This is so weird.
Like Ramesh. Yeah. Oh, Ramesh pissed here yesterday. You want to do it now? Okay.
He should have just done that kind of the little half squat and the zip up.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Just before he turned around. Oh. That would have been lovely.
Purposes. So why were we looking at the back of his head?
Because apparently a lady came up to him.
It's so
this
famous.
This is an anecdote.
Yeah.
A lady came up to him when he was on holiday somewhere, filming somewhere. And he always eats with his back to the door, for obvious reasons,
For obvious reasons.
For privacy. Yeah. He wants to masturbate. And a lady came up to him and said, my God. He said it in this voice. My God. I know the back of that head anywhere.
But I was in Newfoundland doing a TV movie, and I was in a big coffee bar with my wife. And I always face away from the door, for obvious reasons, to try and be private. I'm looking out of the window with my head to the door, and suddenly I hear this voice shout out, my God, I'd know the back of that head anywhere.
Literally one person said that once, but that apparently now means the back of his head is unmistakable and a thing you can start a whole show with.
Yeah, but again, no. The anecdote, there was nothing to it. It was just
nothing.
If you have ever pegged David Suchet, then you would agree that his back of his head is very memorable.
Unmistakable.
And Matt was wearing it. Did you notice Matt's sweater?
I liked it. I put
Val Dooniken. He was the full Val Dooniken. It was like a collared cardigan. I liked it very much.
I like a collared cardigan. Mm. It's getting towards that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you sit in a rocking chair in front of a fire in and read a story. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mind that.
No.
But then I sort of did mind the Another Wedding Expense film.
A good old wedding. For many, the happiest day of their lives. But nowadays, it can also be the most expensive.
But what if you could do it all for a fraction of the cost?
We've had these before. Yeah. They've got some sort of obsession with how much weddings cost for some reason. And this
a lot is the answer.
The answer is ordinarily a lot, unless you live in wherever this couple are from.
Yeah.
Because they'd seen an advert in their local paper put there by the church, and then the church had said they can get married, anyone could get married, for under £1,000. And it included everything.
Mm. Literally everything.
I mean, it included the church, the legal fees, the flowers, the cake, the reception, the champagne, the presents, the honeymoon, I don't know, everything, it seemed to me.
Everything for the day, yeah, and it was quite mental.
Yeah.
No, John, you pay for that later.
Yeah, you certainly do.
But it was, I thought it was very sweet because it was a story about community and like, basically they, you get it so cheap because like a lady, a retired school teacher will do your wedding planning for you.
And she fucking loved it, didn't she?
The ladies at church will do your flowers for you. It's like, that's actually really, really sweet. Yeah. And I'm kind of on board with that.
And school teacher Jane has been acting as Larissa and Callum's wedding planner.
When these weddings were offered, the vicar was absolutely inundated with requests. So this is me trying to help in the way that I can.
I actually really liked this film, and nothing you can say will change my mind.
Yeah, well, I didn't mind them. I mean, it was fine. I didn't like the subject because it's not the first wedding budget film we've seen. No. But I thought the couple were fairly engaging. I thought the idea, as you said, was nice with
he
all the volunteers.
He was quite fit. I fancied him.
You fancied him. I fancied her, actually.
Hey, cool.
Although only in a wedding dress, not later on the sofa. Yes.
Some weird kink. Yeah. I only like it when your dress is a bride.
Yeah.
My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on, ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
But when it came back to them in the studio, because this was Callum and Larissa,
yeah,
and they were in the studio, but when it came back to them and they got a round of applause, poor Callum that you fancy was so bemused by television that he was just staring
just froze.
But, you know,
he was
frightened
looking down
rabbit,
the barrel.
Frightened rabbit is a cliche, but it was nothing more than that. Straight down the barrel of the camera.
Yeah, the thing you're
just
told not to do.
At all. And he was just staring down the camera really hard and while Matt was talking about it. I mean, he just looked so nonplussed. He was so confused.
Well, Johnny, he didn't heed your warning. When you look at the one show.
He was definitely looking into my soul.
He was. But also, did you catch what Matt asked him?
No.
Oh, yes. What was it like, guys? What was it like?
What was it like watching that, guys? Did you enjoy it? What was it like watching that?
He had to ask twice because Callum was too busy staring down the camera. Trying, can I see the people at home? No, Callum. It's not how it works.
I thought he was going to go all Bud Dwyer.
But it was appropriate, actually. There was a link the one show didn't even mean to make here, because then we talked about John Suchet's passion for cameras and photography.
Oh, isn't it nice?
Oh, yeah.
His new book isn't an autobiography. He was very keen to point that out.
He didn't want to write about himself.
Oh, actually, you just said to me in that film, it's not an autobiography.
No.
So why do you not see this as an autobiography?
Well, because
you know, I may be on my own here, but I'm not a fan of autobiography, especially of my profession, because it tends to be, I did this, and then I performed that, and then I performed this, and then I performed that.
Even though this book's about himself.
Yeah. He just keeps saying, this is about me, me.
And like, my photographs that I like taking.
This is why he's been brought on the show, though, because he said, I wanted it to be about everything. Fame. What's it like?
Yeah. And fame, what's it like?
What is it like?
Perfect guest.
Yes,
there he was, is the perfect guest.
There was, there was also a what's it like in the wedding film when when Kevin presenting it. It was Kevin, I
who
think.
Is that guy? He was so blue steel throughout, wasn't he?
Remember,
he goes into the toilet to get changed into his suit, and then by the magic of television,
who needs a phone box when you've got a toilet?
Superman, who needs a phone box when you've got a toilet?
Most tramps would agree with you.
But he looked so pleased with himself when he came out.
I assume he'd been for a piss in it. Yeah, like, you know, like he pisses in phone boxes, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't just get changed, I also had a piss.
Suchet's pissing at the beginning of the show. Yeah. Well, I met yesterday. There's a whole theme of piss going on this
week.
Have you heard
the apocryphal David Suchet story? Am I allowed to tell it on this?
Oh, God, yes.
It's charming and delightful. It's come from degrees of separation. But there's a story apparently of back in the day, Mrs. Suchet, his mum, bumping into a friend in the supermarket, and the friend saying, oh, you're buying that that very stiff toilet paper like you get in schools.
Yeah.
She said, oh, you buy that's it, isn't that a bit rough, Barbara, or whatever her name was. And she said, oh no, I can't buy that thin stuff, my David's fingers go straight through. Apocryphal, might not be true, but someone told me that as if, and I thought that was the best thing I'd ever heard about a classically trained Shakespearean actor.
I like to imagine his mum's name was Sue.
Suchet.
I wish I'd known that anecdote, that story, before I'd watched the One Show, because I would just be sitting there, you know, just
imagining Suchet's crappy fingers.
Yeah, that's right.
God, that's ruined Poirot.
I don't know if it's true, but it's a love. It's a charming.
I think he
story.
Used to draw that moustache on himself.
Oh. Oh no! I knew you'd take it too far.
So that's what I'm here for, Julia. You know me. But you know, so he there was a yeah. What's it like? Said Kevin. What's it like when you saw Larissa in that super dress,
in that 50 quid dress,
that 50 quid stunning dress that she's got.
What was it like when you saw Larissa in that stunning dress?
She did actually look lovely, because she's a very
lovely.
Attractive young woman.
She looked lovely.
Yeah.
So there was what's it like. So there were three what's it likes there in quick succession.
Yeah.
Very pleasing.
And he also, was delighted was... that they got their wedding video paid for by the BBC.
And you know, you've saved even more money now because you've got the One Show cameras to make your wedding video for you.
I know.
We're going to give you the footage, don't worry about it.
Perfect.
That was a lovely touch at the end.
Well, I mean by us.
Well, yes, I the licensing payers, yeah.
That's fine. And then, so, now there was a thing we learned, but there was no explanation for it. Matt met David Suchet while they were together, judging a photographic competition.
See, I mean, the last time I saw you, David, we were judging a photographic competition.
We
together.
Were, yes. Oh. And I was like, what was that?
In
Holiday
what
snaps?
Universe?
Could be.
and then, but he didn't get a reference. We then got another reference to Matt on Instagram.
Do you know, and I've just started with Instagram, and just to sit there and pore over all of so many images.
Yep. Oh, yes, yep. He likes his Instagram. Yep. Just started.
Which, by the way, if you are listening to this and you are one of those people who've been on Matt Begg's Instagram and keep asking him what's it like every time he posts a picture, please do carry on. It's keeping us very, very amused.
That's bullying.
I know, but we're punching up. But honestly,
that
it's
is
really
true,
funny.
Actually.
But Matt Baker started now replying to people.
Yay.
Has he? Yeah. And literally,
he
doesn't know about that because he doesn't listen to this. So he doesn't know. So he's replying. People are going, what's it like? And he's gone, oh, it's actually really nice.
He's probably appreciating hearing it. He's probably thinking,
him.
No one ever asked me what it's like.
Yeah, yeah,
and now they are.
So we talked about that. And then we were into just what was another, speaking of the licence fee, an us-funded puff piece for a new TV version adaptation of His Dark Materials.
Yes.
The buildings, which were grouped around three irregular quadrangles, dated from every period from the early Middle Ages to the mid-18th century. It had never been planned. It had grown piecemeal, with past and present overlapping at every spot,
and the final effect was one of jumbled and squalid grandeur.
That's all this was, right?
It was end to end, wasn't it?
It was presented by Keris Matthews, who has the nicest voice in the world.
I love Keris.
What a voice.
I wouldn't hear a word against Keris.
No. I know, she's bloody brilliant.
She's great.
I could listen to that voice all day.
Yeah. I don't know why she was chosen to do this film, though, I have to say.
No, maybe she just...
She'd come from a Del Monte advert, for the looks of her.
She had. She had a lovely hat on.
Yeah.
My favourite question... It was more of a statement, but a question she asked. So Philip Pullman showing her around his Oxford, and then they go and meet this... It's not quite clear why, but this other writer who sort of says, you know, in a slightly fangirl way, I moved to Oxford because I really like your books, Philip Pullman.
It was essentially one of the main reasons I moved to Oxford.
And at one point, Keris said to... Is it right you didn't know that Oxford was a real place to this woman? She went, no, I didn't.
You didn't know that Oxford was a real place. That is true.
Seriously, you sound English. Where are you fucking from?
You didn't know
Oxford was a place.
It's like Inspector Morse happened to other people.
Completely insane.
Really weird, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But again, that was glossed over.
Yeah.
You kind of wanted Keris to go, what the fuck do you mean?
I know. Which I think ordinarily down the pub she would have done, but she was on the one show and she had, you know, convention to.
Yeah.
But yeah, very strange. I got Philip Pullman was a bit of a smoothie. I got strong smoothie vibes from that
man. Did
you?
Yeah. I liked that his look is that of just a crumpled academic.
It sort of
fits the whole.
Oh, he works it well.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a subtle knife.
Yeah. But then he talked about they sat, didn't they, at the end in the botanical garden.
On his bench. Mm.
On the Pullman bench.
Yeah.
Underneath sculptures.
It's called Pullman for a reason. When he whipped his Welsh out at the end. Very impressive. I'd have fallen for it.
He did whip his Welsh out. You're absolutely right. Yeah, very much. Just to get Keris on site.
Philip, it's been lovely to spend the day with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Keris. Diolch yn fawr.
Croeso, diolch I ti.
His rare bit.
But then they were talking about the you know, in
what happens to us when we come into this room?
Cheesy,
we
rare
don't talk
bit.
Like this anywhere else.
Oh God! So he talked about the demons, didn't he? The demons.
He did. Yeah. They were climbing up the there's a sculpture around the bench, and they're like sort of climbing up. Yeah.
And Keris asked him, "What would be your demon?" And he said, "Well, it's the one at the top of the sculpture, and it's a raven."
Mm.
So if you read the books, you realise the characters all have these. It's an extension of their soul, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the idea in physical animal form.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, my demon's a raven because it picks up shiny, it picks up ideas, like all storytellers.
It steals things.
We take things and we use them.
I just have to ask you about your demon.
Well, she's right at the top of the sculpture. She's a raven because those birds steal things. And storytellers are always picking up bits of this or bits of that. Shiny ideas that they see.
I'm thinking... That's a magpie.
That's a magpie.
Yeah, it is.
It's not a raven, is it? It's a raven.
But it's Philip Pullman. Are you going to tell him? I'm not going to tell him.
No, I'm not going to tell him.
Nah.
No, unless he's listening to this. In which case, Philip, you're a fucking idiot. It's a magpie that steals the shiny things, not a raven.
What are ravens famous for, though, apart from hanging around with beef eaters?
Yeah, that's it. Not leaving the tower. Yeah. So
say something else in Welsh, Philip.
Yaki da.
it's only nice when he does it. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not going to work. Anna Maxwell Martin then was on.
Oh, I love her.
She
was hysterical. By that I mean she was in a state of some hysteria.
Which
I think is probably not a bad way to go into the one show if you're just not able to quite process.
They'd not given her the one show gas on the way in.
No, the kind of the deadening. Yeah. It's
like when you go through that little Veruca pool, the swimming pool when you're a kid. You walk through this, oh God, I feel really weird.
Just through the foot bath, it's perfectly fine. Just take your shoes and socks off.
Yeah.
Let me take a moment, and then suddenly, the air fills with gas.
All sanguine.
She'd somehow held her breath through that, and she was as you think you would be if you were sat on that sofa, just a little bit, not quite able to. What the fuck is going on?
You play the stress of that character so well. Is that because you empathise with the character?
No, I'm not. I hope I'm not. With my kids, I really like being a mum. She's very stressed, particularly in that clip. I have to play quite high stress all the time. I'm shattered by the end of the day.
Yeah. But it really worked. The energy was up. She was. She's funny. She's great. Anyway,
she is very funny.
And the clips from Motherland were brilliant because that is brilliant. And even Matt seemed to enjoy them. I don't think he's ever seen the series.
No,
but he
doesn't know what it is.
Seemed to like it.
Can we get to my favourite bit where the one show went down a drain, never to be?
Go on, because this is what we've been waiting for.
So what happened was they're trying to, obviously you get pre-fed anecdotes, don't you? I guess if you're briefed by the researchers and say, ask her about this, ask her about that. So they ask Anna Maxwell-Martin because they've showed a clip of Motherland. Something happened to you to do with party bags, didn't it? Something, come on, tell the story. So she looked blank for some minutes, or at least it felt like that. And then eventually went, oh, because there's, no, I do have a party bag thing. So do you know this? Do you know this? Because do you know that, are you asking me because you know this?
We'll talk about your life as parenting and birthday parties and making interesting party bags.
Oh.
Is that right?
Do you know a special secret?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we do.
I did have an interesting party bag scenario.
Yes. She was very confused, like, yeah, your agent has told them about that. And Matt just went, I generally know the answers to all the questions I'm asking.
Did you ask these because you know this story?
I did, yes.
I heard something about it.
I generally know the answers to all of the questions that I'm asking.
And the one show just literally disappeared into Matt's mouth.
Yeah,
and the whole show and everything went to black. And then I woke up an hour later, literally covered in sick, going, what happened?
That's exactly what I did.
It was amazing.
It was another example, though, of an actor coming onto the one show and then being so fucking confused about what they do for a job.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, what's it like pretending to be a mum?
Yeah.
Well, I'm an actor.
Pulled the curtain away, has ripped it off the curtain.
It was amazing.
And stamped all over it.
Does he not realise that now there can't be any more one shows? Because now, that every time he asks a question, we know he knows the answer.
Yeah.
Mm.
So he needs to just stop asking the questions now. So either they have like 3 half-hours and an hour on Friday of him just sitting opposite people and going, there's no point.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no point. Or. Somehow we have to all forget that we know that that's true now.
But we can't forget that now.
Matt
said it out loud.
Yeah.
You know? And I imagine afterwards someone screamed at him just saying, you have destroyed the entire fabric.
Why
upon
would
which
you say that
this
out loud?
Flimsy magazine premise is built, Matt.
Like, what do you think? You're on The Big Breakfast. We don't show them the nuts and bolts. But it was just a bit of a, you know, I mean, they don't know how to get anything out of their guests because there's so little they can ask them.
No, that's right. And they have to, anything the guest has got in their armory of non-anecdotes, the researchers will cling onto and try and feed them to Matt to say, look, ask them about this. And try tenuously to link it to something else in the programme.
Yeah.
That's how it has to work.
Yeah.
Or the hidden subtext this week of piss.
Yeah. If it just said, hidden have you piss. Ever, you know, pissed your knickers or anything like that?
God.
I mean, the researchers might have asked her that.
Might have.
And she might have just gone, no.
But they did shoehorn in the fact that she played Lyra in a stage production.
Six-hour stage production.
Even though she was like a 22-year-old woman, she played an 11-year-old girl.
The audience really wanted her to be
And they really, because they paid their money, so they wanted to see her be a child.
No, I was in my late 20s, but it is a weird trick of theatre, David, you'll know this, that when people so wanted me to be a child, 11 or however old Lyra is, I can't remember now, that they really truly believed I was an 11-year-old kid. And it's like, well, I'm obviously not, am I? But they want to because they've paid.
That's not an odd way to get entertained.
No.
But it was really weird. Was it a coincidence? Did they plan her to be on there the day that...
I mean, that was a bit of a coincidence, wasn't
it? I think it must have been.
Because normally things are more tenuous now. But the fact that she'd actually been in a version of the stage show.
I think by then a wormhole in space and time had opened up, and all bets are off now.
Well,
6 inches a minute.
The reason I think they then gave up was because we were then treated to a.
Treated?
Not the right word at all. No. Is it exposed?
You mean a bit that just filled some time?
That's it?
Yeah.
So. They said, here's a montage of clips of Poirot.
Of all the other people who played Poirot, and then they put David Suchet in quite near the end.
Yeah.
Because
it was like Branagh, Ustinov, Malkovich.
Yeah.
And then they deemed him the winner.
Yes. But
he won the race of Poirot.
They did. They said at the end of this, I timed it. It was just over 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Of just clips of previous Poirot's. Now, this is... not 30 seconds, which is what you'd normally get.
Yeah.
And then some more chat to the actor who used to play him. 5 minutes.
And some clips of just people going, quick, fetch Mr. Poirot, there's been a murder. what are you doing?
Sorry, 5 minutes.
5 minutes on the one show is a long time.
Yeah.
It's a really long time.
Yeah.
But this might explain what happened at the end.
It's 5 inches
like a
minute.
Whole dog.
Yeah. 5 inches a minute.
It's slower than a boring, mind-boring whole thing machine. Yeah.
5 minutes of this there was. But all set to the song Figure It Out by Royal Blood.
Oh,
because
yeah.
somebody had obviously gone, he's a detective, isn't he?
He's got to
figure it out.
So let's watch that the detectives by Elvis Costello. What the fuck?
I mean, that would be a bit on the nose. No?
Yeah. Come on. It's the one show. They put effort into this.
Sorry.
They're trying to be current and young. And
but I think it was the whole... But the thing is, I think the song by Royal Blood is only about 3.5 minutes. Can heart asleep, blood is my dreams. I'm just killing me, trying to figure it out. 5 minutes of this. Just, and all it really was an extended music video they'd made themselves for the Royal Blood, because it was cut to the beat of the bloody song as
it
well.
It was. But then they really ran out of time at the end, and this is when Matt's co-host was... I believe took her revenge for a perceived slight earlier in the week, because Matt, coming off the back of the VT, sort of saying to David Suchet, "We think you're the best, Poirot, like it matters what they think." And then he built up to it, turned to him and went, "Well, mon ami," as if he was about to finish it off in Belgian style, and she just cut right off. That's all we've got time for this week.
Well, mon ami. We're going to leave it there.
Successfully achieved it.
He looks so, like, fucking... As much as his eyes can show emotion, like, eyes of death. He was really fucked up.
She won't be back.
No, no. That's she'll never present the one show again.
She won't be back on telly.
Yeah. No, that's Matt. Matt will
never
take her down. Any other business? Any other business that we've missed?
I've got the actual handbrake turn of the week.
Handbrake turn of the week.
Handbrake turn of the week, John Rain.
Yep, so this was during the end of the Thomas Cook piece.
Yeah.
Where we come back from the scammers, and they briefly reflected on Thomas Cook. Oh, it's awful. Absolutely awful.
Is it awful? Isn't it awful?
But on a lighter note, Matt, are you a fan of plebs?
Up to 60 days after that for them to get their refund. So we're looking at the beginning of December, possibly, for some of those customers.
Yeah.
It's a real shock.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Matt, thanks very much for that. On a lighter note...
Yes.
Are you a fan of plebs?
I mean, that's not even trying.
Yeah.
There was only one thing that slightly baffled me, because the stats bit of my brain wants to go, how? Is when they introduced David Suchet on Thursday, they said he's been seen by over 700 million viewers. How? So where's that number come from?
Yeah.
Literally, how do you count that?
Yeah.
How?
He probably told them.
I don't understand. Like, you can't just make up a number. Well, you can just make up a number. No one's going to check.
Yeah. But under Matt's breath, he was definitely going, "That's not as many as Country Fire." And that seems like the place to bring this week's edition of The One Show to a close. Now, last week, we got up to number 65 in the podcast chart, but we're still chasing that oh-so-elusive 64th place. So help us out by sharing and telling your friends that this podcast is at least worth a try. No one here has wrote a porno, so that number one spot may be out of our grasp. But if it helps, I am happy to pen some adult fan fiction about Matt Baker and Pudsey Bear to get us into the top 10. And I'll throw in one of the kids from Children in Need. No, one of the older ones, though. Definitely over 16. I'm not a monster. Please remember... You right, Julia?
Yeah.
Okay. To rate, review and slide into our iTunes subscription. But while you're remembering to do that, also remember this, and remember it well. When you look at the television to look at The One Show, The One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before.
These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Boys mustn't hesitate, bashing a head like this.
You can't tell me what to do, you ain't my mother!
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter @BoxDelightsPod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Great.